Please rise as we read from the book of Luke, chapter 15. I know what your bulletin says, but I changed it. Beginning with verse 1, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive your words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So the song that was just sang, I bet I've heard that 100,000,000,000 times. But I have to say, that was probably one of the best renditions I have ever heard, period. Thank you. Okay, so Jesus had this thing that he did. He typically would go through and he would figure out the best way to convey his message that all of the people there could understand. And so as a pastor and a preacher, that is one of the things that we work on a weekly basis, trying to take God's Word and put it into a way that will connect with people. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. I think I nailed it this week. By a show of hands, how many of you are directionally challenged? I'm glad I'm not Bill Hart, because I figure he's going to get in trouble. He was helping her raise her hands. How many of you have ever been lost? How many of you love GPS? That thing stinks. So I had to go to the hospital over in Rowlett one day. And so I knew the way to go, but somebody had told me that there had to be a quicker way. So we GPS'd it. I've never seen so many back roads through rock wall in my life. And it took probably 15, 20 minutes longer going by GPS than it would have if I'd have. Anyway, I'll be in trouble too when I get home. So I figure that there are three ways to get lost. There's physical. We kind of were just talking about that. Angie and I went to Corpus Christi one year. And I hadn't been to Corpus since I was a child. Had you ever been there at all? She had never been there at all. So we decided we were going to go and get on that big boat out there in the ocean. What is that one? The aircraft carrier? Who? The Lexington? Okay. We get there and we walk on it and we spend time down there and it starts getting dark and it's time to head back. And I think we stopped and ate dinner and it was getting even darker. And I start driving and I know where I'm going. And all of a sudden Angie goes, "Do you have a clue where you're at?" I said, "Yeah, it's somewhere around here." She said, "Well, maybe we need to Google it." I said, "No, I don't need directions." Ladies, how many times have you heard that? There's something about us men that we don't need directions. Whether it's driving, whether it's putting together something that has 5 trillion pieces, or in anything in our most of our lives, we don't need directions, right? Well, Angie, being the wonderful, insistent person that she is, after us driving around for, what, about 45 minutes in an area of Corpus Christi, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I mean, there was nothing there but buildings. She decided to Google it, and I can say this now, and it's recorded, so you know it's truthful. I'm glad she did, because we were like 15 miles away from where we were supposed to be. I had gone in the complete opposite direction. I was headed back to Austin. So we're physically, we get lost physically. We get lost mentally too. Did you know that you can get lost mentally? Thank you. Wayne took care of me. How many of you think that you can't get lost mentally? Somebody raise a hand so I can go on with the sermon. Thank you, Brother Davis. Have you ever walked into a room and gone, "What the heck am I in here for?" I got one even better. I stood up out of the recliner and immediately forgot why I stood up. So we can get lost mentally. We can also get lost spiritually. So Jesus was talking to the Pharisees because, once again, they showed their level of education and started complaining that Jesus was hanging out with sinners. And so he told them a couple of parables about being lost. The first one had to do with a shepherd losing one of his sheep and going out and hunting it down. So many times when we get lost, we need help. Even when we say we don't, we need somebody to help us find our way back. In the physical manner, it's GPS. In the mental area, it's a loved one saying, "Did you forget to do such and such?" And in our spiritual lostness, we need a light. He then told another story about the lady who lost a coin. Now, we read that and we think, I lose pennies all the time. I lose a quarter. I don't go searching everywhere. You've got to remember that for her, that was like 2 weeks worth of food. So it was important that she find that or she would not have enough to eat. In our spiritual lostness, we can be going along and all of a sudden it's kind of like we took the wrong fork in the road. That we've gotten distracted by something that kept us from seeing the road signs. My mom always had this wonderful analogy on the path of life. Mama would say that when you become a Christian and you're going down the road, you're going along and you get distracted and you look over and there's some pretty flowers and there's these beautiful trees and the lane is shaded and covered and we drift that way because we're looking at it, and before long we've gotten lost on that road and it's the wrong road. And we don't know how to get back. In our lives we have those forks in the road, those T's, those moments when we have to decide which way we're supposed to go. And I know physically sometimes we come to a T in the road and it'll be Highway 69. And it'll say 69 north and 69 south, and we don't know which way we're headed, so we don't know which way to go. So many times in our lives that happens to us. We come to that crossroad and we don't know which way to turn. And so sometimes we turn the wrong way. Now, a lot of times we think to ourselves, well, I've gotten lost, so I've got to find my way back, and I don't know how to go about it. But like me, when we went to Corpus Christi, instead of stopping and getting my bearings, I just kept driving. And I kept going in the wrong direction. In our everyday walks of life, that happens. We get to a point in our life where we think that we're so lost we'll never get out of it. But Jesus gives the analogy that the shepherd goes and he hunts that lost sheep. Or the woman goes and she hunts and finds that lost coin. Jesus does the same. When we wander or we stray away from Him for whatever reason it might be, Jesus immediately goes into pursuit of us to ensure that we get back to where we need to be under the protection of God's arms. He wants to make sure that we're not out there in the world unprotected. And Jesus is relentless in finding us. As He gave in His two analogies, He leaves everything else behind to come and find us so that He can bring us back to the rest of the flock. One of the things that when I was a child, and my parents were really good about opening conversation about God, wherever it was, whether it was at the dinner table. Yeah, we all ate together. Whether it was at a sporting event, or if it was at church, or if it was when Mama was busting my butt, or whatever, God was always talked about. And then when I turned 18, I came to that crossroad and I took the wrong turn. And just, I guess it just part of me, Angie, instead of stopping and retracing my tracks, I just kept going. I kept driving into the sunset, realizing that I was going in the wrong direction, but I figured that there would be a road that would take me back, or as GPS puts it, recalculating. But I found out that I couldn't do it on my own. And for 10 years I wandered. Wrong turn after wrong turn after wrong turn after wrong turn. constantly trying to find my way back. And then one day, I came to another crossroad. And there at the stop sign stood Jesus. And he said, "Boy," that's what he calls me, "boy. I've been trying to get a hold of you so I could get you back to where you need to be. Move over and let me drive." Jesus was willing to give up his wonderful glory time in heaven to come down and hunt down Danny Gurley. And I'm sure we all have that same story in our lives, where at some time in our lives we lost our direction and become lost. And Jesus has pursued us until he found us. Now, out of all of this, out of all this cool parable, there's one thing that is the greatest of all. So I don't know how many of us have known someone who has lost their way. Someone who has wandered away from God. Someone, for whatever reason, decided to drive in the wrong direction or in a different direction. And when they came back, what was the atmosphere? My brother, raised in the same household I was, hearing and listening about God all his life, decided to take that wrong turn too. And he continued on that path, running as hard as he could to try to find the right place. One day, I'm not exactly sure when or where, while sitting in his 6x6 cell as a guest of your tax dollars in the Beto unit, God took over the steering wheel. And so he had written me a letter telling me that he had found God finally. And that was probably the greatest feeling in my heart. Because my brother, who had been the lost sheep, the shepherd had found him and had brought him home. But the joy was so overwhelming for me. I can't explain it. Luke tells us that when the shepherd found his lost sheep, and when the little lady found her lost coin, they called for a party. "Come and celebrate with me. I have found my lamb. I have found my coin." And Jesus says, there's more rejoicing in heaven when that lost sheep comes home over one lost sheep than all of the joy in heaven on an everyday basis. Here's the thing, y'all. When Christ brings one of his lost children home, heaven stops. The business of the day stops. And there's a big party. Woo! A big party. Because the important thing is that lost sheep that was out there has been found and has come home. That lost coin has been found. That last lost child of God is back in the wings of God's comfort and protection. Why did Jesus hang out with sinners? Because that's what God expected of him. That's what he expected. He had gone to find those lost children of God and to bring them back. How many of you go to the doctor when you feel great? Why would God's personal servant, GPS, get it? Go looking for people that aren't lost? Folks, for us here today, this is reassurance for us that when we do take the wrong turn, we know that God is sending Jesus to get us. Stop driving. Kind of like that old saying, when the hole's deep enough, quit digging. For those of our families and friends and acquaintances that we know have gotten lost along the way, we pray for them and we help Jesus. The last time I saw them, they were here. Jesus, go find them. Bring them home. And when they do come home, there should be rejoicing like crazy. I pastored a church where when someone would come and accept Christ as their personal Savior, I had one guy in the congregation that would get all happy and all excited and all fired up because someone had come to Christ. And he'd start hooping and hollering and clapping. And the first time he did it, I, along with the rest of the congregation, thought that he'd gone psycho. But then he told the congregation how ashamed of him they were, or he was, that they weren't rejoicing like the angels in heaven were rejoicing because one had been found that had been lost. So from that point on, everybody clapped and got excited. That's how we should be. When God finds one of His lost children and brings them home, we should be just ecstatic. So, brothers and sisters, remember this if you don't remember anything else from this message. Remember this. When you get physically lost, there's GPS. When you get mentally lost, there's your spouse. And when you get spiritually lost, call upon the name of Jesus Christ and He'll come get you. AAA ain't got nothing on Him. And for those in our families and those who are our friends and our acquaintances that have lost their way, pray for them. That they'll quit driving and let God take over. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we sometimes get lost. We sometimes get distracted. We sometimes lose our way. And instead of stopping and calling upon you, we continue to drive it because we think we can do it on our own. Father, time after time after time after time, we've proven that we can't. Father, send your Holy Spirit to let us know in our ears, just stop. Jesus will be along in just a second to bring us back home. Father, we pray for each other. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for those that we don't know and probably never will, that have gotten lost like the sheep or the coin. We pray that they will find their way back to you through Jesus. Father, when they come into your presence, I pray that there will be rejoicing on earth as there is in heaven for that one that was once lost but now has been found. Father, we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Just a quick reminder.